Recorded Books presents Daughter of the Morning Star by Craig Johnson. Narrated by me, George Guidel. For Kishon Scalp Cain, we still see the world through your eyes. From Lala Delaya. She remembered who she was, and the game changed. Chapter 1.
Play me.
Sometimes I'd drive to the borders of my county and look for the end of the world, and sometimes I see it, or I think I do. But maybe what I see is myself, and that's enough to send me scurrying back the other way. I like to think I used to be braver, but maybe I just didn't know any better. When I was young, all I wanted was out. I was pretty sure that the only reason I participated in sports was to do that, to go on those endless bus rides, even if it was just more of Wyoming with maybe a little Montana and South Dakota mixed in. Along the way, with a little size, speed, muscle, and brains, I was able to land a spot as one of the top 10 teenage offensive linemen in the country. The University of Southern California took note and offered me a scholarship, where we even won a Rose Bowl for the red and gold against Wisconsin, 42-37. I graduated, lost my deferment in doing so, and found myself wearing the khaki and olive drab for the United States Marine Corps. The Corps taught me a lot of things that college hadn't, like how to shine my shoes, say sir a lot, and take other people's lives. The biggest thing it did, however, was pin a star to my chest, something that's still there to this day. I am the sheriff, the final letter of the law in Absaroka, the least populated county in Wyoming, the least populated state in America. Kind of a period, if you will, in the great sentence of justice. But right now I was retrieving a basketball from dead frozen grass and tossing it back to an 18-year-old phenom. Luckily, I didn't have to do that very often because she didn't miss very often. Not my game. My words clouded the air as I threw the ball, and she caught it with long, nimble, artistic-looking fingers.
Chicken shit.
She turned and dribbled through her legs, then circled out to the top of the key, where she half-turned and flipped up a three-pointer. All net. Or whatever net was left with the red, white, and blue nylon strands that had been faded by the sun, rain, and incessant wind of the high plains. The unraveled threads like a horsetail swishing at a fly. It was a fitting banner for the Northern Cheyenne, a people ravaged by unemployment, alcoholism, drug abuse, domestic violence, inadequate health care, and substandard housing. I passed the ball back. So, you got another note? She turned, dribbled to the baseline corner, and flipped the ball up again. I watched its arc as it slipped through the net, the ball caressing the nylon with a swirling sound, like hope, and then bouncing on the pockmarked asphalt before rolling to a stop near the ragged chain-link fence. Flipping the dark hair from her face, she stared at me with polished magnetite eyes. "You don't answer my questions, I don't retrieve the ball." Her head kicked sideways in disgust, but I was unfazed. I have a daughter.
"Yes."
I walked over to the fence to get the ball and bounce it to her. "Care to elaborate?" She rolled it behind her back and then took a few quick dribbles before hoisting the ball skyward in a reverse layup. The momentum carried her toward me, where she stopped and looked up. She's 6 feet tall and doesn't like looking up at anyone, in any way, but I'm taller than she is.
"No."
I watched as she turned and retrieved the ball herself, dribbling toward the half-court line painted on the asphalt, reminding me of the prints on the parking lot at Paris Island back when I first became a Marine. She shot, and it floated through, landing in my hands. "Do you think your life's in danger?" She waited for me to give her the ball.
"I am a young woman in modern America, living on the res. My life is always in danger."
I tossed her the ball. "Can you think of anyone specific?" She circled the three-point line. It's where she earned the nickname Longbow. Jaya Longbow Long. The hands went up, the ball came down, three on the board.
"No."
The suicide rate for Native teenagers is 2.5 times greater than the national average. I tossed her the ball. "No enemies?" She dribbled in the key just below the foul line and pivoted, tipping the ball up in one hand in a reasonable impersonation of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar-style skyhook. I held the ball. An exaggerated sigh as her shoulders dropped.
I'm in high school. I've got nothing but enemies.
Native women are 3.5 times more likely to be raped or sexually assaulted than the national average. I tossed the ball.
You want to tell me about Jeannie?
There was a brief pause, a nanosecond when I pierced the otherwise stoic reserve. Jaya began dribbling again, punishing the asphalt as she stalked toward the top of the key, then the half-court line. I waited for her to turn and shoot, but she didn't. She walked toward the double doors of the school with the ball under one arm, leaving me standing in an empty parking lot. Native women are 6 times more likely to be murdered.